Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Thank God it's Friday!
Lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's live and local now for a Friday. We'll have the Friday song a little bit later on in the program. You know, we've talked so much about the physical health of America during the coronavirus scare that a lot of times we forget about the mental health of our nation. A guy that did a tremendous op-ed piece in Real Clear Politics, Trump prioritizes Americans' mental health in this crisis. Paris Denard, he is a good friend. In fact, I saw over the weekend, last weekend, he was tweeting out birthday wishes to Kayleigh McEnany, a person that's been on our show many, many, many times, now the press secretary for the President of the United States. And he joins us now. Paris, thanks so much for joining us. First of all, how are you and your family coping? How are you doing? Are you surviving? Yeah, and you live on the Virginia side of the state line. So tell me what it's like in the swamp, but on the Virginia side.
Well, thanks for having me on the show, and you know I'm honored to be in good company like Kayleigh McEnany, who I think is going to do a fantastic job as our new White House press secretary. I've known her for quite a long time. We were colleagues on CNN together, and it's exciting to be able to watch her career progress. I think as you look at what's happening with COVID-19, it's no secret that it's impacting all of us. And I'm here in D.C., on the Virginia side, like you said. And the funny thing is, I'm just watching what our blackface supporting Governor Ralph Northam is doing and talking about, and extending efforts to make it more difficult for this Commonwealth of Virginia to open up and get the economy going. And I think that, each governor, we have to respect what the president says in terms of allowing the governors and the mayors to make their decisions. But I think that, some of them are kind of out of touch and out of step. And so, I think at the end of the day, we all have to just be flexible. And that's what I've been doing. I've been, using this quote unquote in-home studio. My apartment, trust me, was not made for in-home studios, so I have to get some extra lighting and microphones and, some signs on the wall. My Black Voices for Trump sign, so it looks a little bit more professional. But we keep going. And I'm proud of the engagement that the RNC and the campaign has. They have me working really hard because we're now a digital campaign for the time being, but that hasn't slowed up our efforts. So, for me, I've just been really busy. But it's exciting because people are still hungry for the news. They're hungry for the facts. They're hungry for the truth. And they're hungry for learning more about what this president is doing, even during the time of pandemic.
How much is Governor Northam limiting you? Is it a stay-at-home, essential services only? Does it go beyond that?
Yeah, he's at the stay-at-home, essential services and only, but also, the extending of I think his order goes further than a lot of the other states. I think a lot of them were going until April. His was extended, I think, well into May or June. I think schools are closed for the rest of the year. And he made that order very early on before there was even talk about Virginia being, the curve wasn't even high in Virginia. And there's kind of a lot of overreaction. And so, I think that there's parts of Virginia that are, not every part of Virginia is like Arlington where I am, the northern part. There's a lot of parts are rural and more spread out and like Haymarket and other places, Richmond. And so I think people are going to want to see progress made on the front of opening up the government and the economy in the Commonwealth. And commerce has to begin, and we have to do it in a safe manner, of course, but we need to see that our governors and state and local officials are actually doing the proper steps to get it open again, because it impacts people in a negative way in terms of, you know, not only mental health, but also just the fact that you have over 25 or so million people on unemployment. That's unsustainable. It's unsustainable.
Again, Paris Denard joining us, political commentator, former Bush 43 staffer. From an economic standpoint, this is obviously going to impact everybody nationwide. How badly has it hit Virginia so far?
Oh, you have just the grocery stores and your basic essential services that are there, but there's no doubt that, you know, Virginia is close to D.C., and so when you go on the freeway, you see there's no cars on the freeway. The metro, they have really, the metro is the public transportation system. It's really been, which is very effective. They've cut down service tremendously. Very few people are taking it. I mean, it's amazing that the normal hustle and bustle of this city, this town, the DMV, D.C. Metropolitan Virginia, Maryland, Virginia area, is just all about a standstill. And it's insane. And when you also look at the fact that people are trying to figure out how they're going to make ends meet. You know, there's so many people that are in apartments out here because the cost of living is so high. You know, what's going to happen if this goes on for another month? And apartment complexes, are they going to allow people to not pay their mortgage, delay their rent payment? You know, there are real issues here that I don't think people are not really talking about, as well as the school issue. If the schools are going to remain closed for the remainder of the year, what are those single parents going to do? What are those working parents going to do if they're two-parent households? Say you can go back to work, but the governor of Virginia says your schools are still closed down for the rest of the year. You know, I just think that the totality of this is really going to impact people in a negative way, unless we take some smart, measured approaches and take the lead of the president to really find ways to open up parts of this government and get things going again.
Paris, I'm sure Governor Northam does what governors across the country do. They have these either daily briefings or two, three-time-a-week briefings. They send out new numbers on deaths and hospitalizations and intubations. But how do we measure the mental health of people in the Commonwealth of Virginia and even here in Nevada?
Yeah, I think, thank you for that. You know, I just recently wrote an op-ed about this very issue, about the mental health impact that was in, and I don't think the media, I don't think enough people are really focused on what I believe the administration and the president are focused on, which is the mental health. It is hard to quantify this, because this is something that the data comes in later, right? The data comes in after you can analyze how many people called the hotline, or how many suicides occurred, or how many people sought therapy, or how many domestic violence calls happened this month, you know, the month of April versus the month of March, comparatively to the month of, let's say, November 2019 prior to COVID, looking at, you know, April 2020 during COVID. So, you know, the measure is going to be difficult, but I think because it has to be intentional and it has to be active. So governments and local officials have to be working with the CDC. You know, First Lady Melania Trump put out a tweet talking with a link to the CDC about how to cope with stress, because this is a very serious issue. The stresses of being here, cooped up inside your home, and then the inability to really have interaction with people, because it really does play an impact and a role. And so I think, to answer you specifically, officials on the local level, and that I have to follow the federal level and say, let's take a really good look at what's going on. Let's take a look at the calls that are coming in, the working with the police to say, are there domestic violence numbers that are going up? Are there issues of suicide calls that are increasing? And monitor that. And I think that you make a direct correlation to it. I mean, I talked about it in my op-ed. Looking at places like in Tennessee and in California, I mean, it's real, and increases are happening.
We've got Georgia opening up. We've got Texas opening up to a degree. Are we going to see more states open up at least a part of their economies to get people working again?
Oh, absolutely. Look, I think the president laid out a very smart, responsible, and responsive three-phased approach to opening up the economy on a national basis, respecting the right of federalism and the rights of our governors to work with the to get approval from the federal government in terms of meeting the necessary benchmarks. But I also remind your listeners, this three-point plan was done with data, science, and the health of American people in mind from the very beginning. And so the states that are going to open up are the states that meet the criterions to open up, which means they are flattening the curve, and they are having enough necessary testing, and they have the precautions in place to open up responsibly. And I think you're going to find it might not be the whole entire state, but it will certainly be portions of the state will open up. And I think Dr. Fauci rightfully says it won't be a light switch. You know, just turn it up and everything is open. It might be more like a dimmer. And slowly but surely, the light at the end of the tunnel that the president always talks about will be brighter and brighter and brighter, and it will include more and more. But there's no reason why, you know, I'm originally from Arizona out west, like where you are. And so there's no reason why my friends that live up north, where it's more spread apart, not as dense, not as populated, have the same restrictions as, you know, the sixth largest city in America, six or seven largest city in America, Phoenix, Arizona, and Maricopa County, where I come from. You know, it's not fair, and the data and the numbers don't even support having this one-size-fits-all approach to either closing or opening state governments, governors, and local municipalities.
Do you sense that other states will, to borrow a golf term, go to school on Georgia, to go to school on Texas? If you know, because to me there are two options here. One, the numbers aren't impacted at all by loosening up, you know, states like that, or we're going to see a spike, and governors are elsewhere around the country say, see, we told you so. First of all, which do you think it'll be?
Well, I'm an optimist like our president. I'm hopeful that warmer weather will impact this, that the end of flu season will impact this. I hope that the people observing the president's guidelines to slow the spread, to washing hands, using face masks, and you know, social distancing to a point, and just being more aware and more responsible in how we interact with each other and out in the world, I think that will play a role. So I don't think it's going to be as negative as it could have been or could be. But I think that governors are going to their states, just like the president and the federal government and the, you know, namely the task force on coronavirus, have watched other countries and have looked and observed and then looked at their data, their models, but then made calculations based upon the data and the models that are present here. Look, we thought, If we listen to the data and the models of New York with Governor Cuomo, he thought and the federal government agreed that they were going to need the Javits Center with 2,000 some odd beds, that they were going to need the Comfort Navy ship over there with 2,000 some odd beds, and those were not supposed to be COVID-19 beds. Then they said we need them to be COVID-19 beds. They said okay. They took the time, the energy, and the money, and the resources with the Army Corps of Engineers and refit all of the beds and put necessary ventilation in to make both the ship and Javits COVID-19 compliant, and they didn't need it. And so that's just an example of how the data and the model said one thing and the reality said another, and you know, people watch it, and we observe, and I think that's what's going to happen here.
It's going to be fascinating to see not so much, businesses that open up, states that open up, but whether the American people, you know, consumer confidence will be high enough that they will be able to get on an airplane, go to a restaurant, even with social distancing. Do you think it will take a while for America to do that? And by the way, I've got about 90 seconds.
Yeah, no, I think as soon as this happens, I think Americans are resilient. We're going to get back to work. We're going to get back, and we're going to be responsible. The American people have been fantastic throughout this whole entire process, and President Trump has praised the respect that the American people have given to this process. And I think as we open up the government, open up the economy, we're going to be a different America, a safer, a cleaner America, but we're going to get back. We're going to come back stronger than ever. And it's just shameful that Democrats like Speaker Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are putting a halt to that progress by halting by upwards of 2 weeks the Paycheck Protection Program, which could have had immediate help to people weeks ago, instead they're now getting it today, I believe, with the president signing it. So we've got to look forward. We've got to be picking politics out of this. But the American people are ready to do the right thing and get this country going and be better than we were before COVID-19 hit.
I would be remiss if I did not at least ask you one political question, and that is about digitizing the Trump re-election campaign. Is that the way this thing's going to have to be run?
No, I don't think that's going to be run into perpetuity. I think it's what we're doing right now, but thankfully it has had no negative impact on our ability to reach voters, to reach new volunteers, and to have engagement with people across the country. Our numbers have been through the roof, and our fundraising has been through the roof. And it helps when Brad Pascal, our campaign manager at the campaign, was the digital person in 2016, is now running the campaign. It was seamless. The RNC under Ronna McDaniel, it's been seamless and it's been effective. But I think there's going to come a time we're going to go back to having events, meeting people where they are at their homes, at rallies in some form, and really getting back to the way politics is meant to be, which is all local and not everything being digital. But we can handle a digital campaign, and we're doing it effectively at the RNC and the campaign.
If folks want to find out more about what you're writing about, what you're doing, where do they go?
Twitter's a great place to find me, where you find me too, with Paris Denard, PARISBENNARD, on my website, parisdenard.com.
Very good. Paris, have yourself a great weekend. Stay safe there, would you please?
Thank you. God bless you.
Paris Denard joining us from Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia, as we continue live and local now.
This is Diamond and Silk. If you can see mountains in Nevada, listen to Kevin Wall on the Nevada Talk Network.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. Are you in need of a healthcare program? Well, you're in luck. As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year with memberships starting as early as the following month. And there are no contracts or commitments. Programs start as low as $199 per month, and there's no network. So you can choose your own doctors and hospitals. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit ministry, not insurance. So your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing that you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who understand the importance of people coming together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or go to libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. That's libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor. As the owner of Las Vegas Cycry and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors, and I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cycry has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid bikes, mountain bikes, and road bikes. We also have a wide variety of the latest electric bikes, which affords the opportunity for those who want to ride a bike again but have some physical limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. And for those of you interested in a guided biking or hiking outdoor tour, visit EscapeAdventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. That's 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215.
America's founders knew power corrupts, and ultimate power corrupts ultimately, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. That's why they built in checks and balances to prevent any one group from seizing all power.
And that's why our president is elected by a college of electors, to protect the rights of little states like Delaware and Wyoming against giants like New York and California. After all, our country is a republic, the United States of America, not the United State. Our states are independent, sovereign powers who created the federal government, not the other way around.
And that's why all power ultimately lies in we the people and the states, not a central dictatorship of cronies. Did you know that? Thank God for the U.S. Constitution.
Find out more how our amazing Constitution and Bill of Rights protect us, the citizens, against power-crazed politicians in Washington. Help us take back America. Go to OurAmericanRights.com. Brought to you by the American Media Council.
For years now, you've heard me talking about Real Water. Hey, Kevin Wall here. I just can't get over the clean, smooth taste and how great it makes me feel. I won't drink anything else. But there's more than just great taste to Real Water. There's real science behind why it's so good. It's infused with negative ions, which basically means it has a bunch of extra electrons. You see, those negative ions help you hydrate on a cellular level and provide a powerful antioxidant effect. I told my friends Brent and Amy, the owners of Real Water, that I wanted to offer my listeners a special on Real Water, and they agreed. So here's the deal. Go to Amazon and search Real Water. It's the blue rectangular bottle that says Real Water. Add it to your cart, and when you proceed to checkout, there'll be a coupon section. Put in 10WALL. That's the number 10WALL, all caps, no spaces, and you'll receive a 10% discount. It doesn't get much better than that. Great tasting Real Water with all its beneficial properties delivered right to your door. I know you'll love it. Trust me, you will taste and feel this difference.
Let us know what's on your mind. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/NevadaTalkNet, or visit our website, nvtalk.com.
All across the state of Nevada, it is Live and Local Now. Kevin Wall with you. It is Friday. Coming up after the bottom of the hour break, we will bring you, yes, the Friday song. Also, this whole thing of ultraviolet irradiation of blood that the president mentioned, we'll talk about that. There's a piece from the NIH on that. We'll get to that and more coming up. Live and Local Now.
Where Nevada comes to talk, making radio great again.
Nardi's Homestyle Restaurant, your favorite stay-at-home family meal provider for Ely. Choose from their great menu of made-from-scratch meals. They even bake their own bread and desserts. They offer daily specials, and during this stay-at-home time, they offer a free kids' meal when you order one adult meal. Check them out on Facebook, and when you want a family-style meal for lunch or dinner delivered right to your door, call 775-289-3585. Stay tuned to KELY Talk Radio 1230 AM to hear daily specials, or call the restaurant to get a complete menu. That's Nardi's Homestyle Restaurant. Great food, great service. Call 775-289-3585 for home delivery. Nardi's Homestyle Restaurant.
Nardi's in the location of the old Silver State Restaurant. They're open 11 a.m. to 7:30 every day but Tuesday. Nardi's Homestyle Restaurant. Great food.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The U.S. death toll from the coronavirus is about to reach 50,000. According to the Johns Hopkins coronavirus researchers who are tracking the virus worldwide, and there are more than 869,000 confirmed cases of it in the United States. But there are signs of hope in the big hotspot of New York. Mayor Bill de Blasio in New York City just said at the morning news briefing,
"The daily number of people admitted to hospitals for suspected COVID-19, that is down from 227 to 176. So that's great. That's a serious decline.
President Trump today will sign a small business relief package during a ceremony in the Oval Office, adding funds for a small business loan program to help employers keep workers on the payroll despite the pandemic. The initial money ran out in days. This is USA Radio News.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
A lot of talk about the return of cup racing, but what about the other series? I'm Woody Kane. The story next on NASCAR Today, Midday.
Welcome back to Sports View. Next topic. Is it really all about power? Makes me think of Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Gives you the power to find options based on your budget. Let's go to Chuck for an irrelevant analogy.
Man, back in the day, people didn't ask how many oranges are in the crate. They just took the oranges. They didn't say, are there 6, 7, 12, 15, whatever. It was just oranges. You get me?
We get you, Chuck. In a word, oranges.
Give it to us straight with the Progressive Name Your Price tool. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Check out MRN.com for a podcast series called The Tough Trucks of NASCAR. 25 years and still trucking. We'll take you back to some great races.
Here they come. They're crashing in the back at the line. Mike Skinner wins it.
Some wild moments.
Brendan Gaughan gets turned around and slams hard into the inside retaining wall.
And the stories that go with them.
We lost the championship, but there was a lot of ugly things that went on behind the scenes. Ended a lot of friendships, actually, to this day.
Download the shows for free on iTunes and at MRN.com.
2018 Gander RV and Outdoors Truck Series champ Brett Moffitt is getting back in racing shape after breaking both thigh bones last month. And even though he needs the time off now with races postponed to get better, he says truck teams may have to get used to a busier schedule when NASCAR says it's time to drop the green flag.
That's going to be the tough part is, you know, a lot of the truck teams are used to a schedule where we race twice a month or maybe three times a month and have at least a week or two off. So I think we're in as good a position as anybody to go back full time and probably have a busier schedule than what we're used to.
Moffitt also plans to go iRacing at a virtual Talladega Super Speedway Sunday. Hear more from him on this week's MRN Out Loud podcast. It's at MRN.com and wherever you download. I'm Woody Kane. This is NASCAR Today Midday on the Motor Racing Network.
Let us know what's on your mind. Email NevadaTalkNet@gmail.com or call 775-293-1875.
My name's Joe Biden. I'm a Democratic candidate for the United States Senate. Look me over. If you like what you see, help out. If not, vote for the other guy. Give me a look, though, okay?
Dizzy. I'm so dizzy. My head is spinning.
Yeah, speaking of dizzy, that would appear the best thing that's happened to Joe Biden is the coronavirus. Because he doesn't have to go out on the stump every day and try and put three sentences together. Governor Andrew Cuomo had some good news for fun. I mean, he's been, I called him Governor Gloom and Doom early on, and maybe for good reason. But the fact is now he's starting to dish out some good news. Let's take you to that news conference, which began just about an hour ago. Here it is.
But that's basically a flat line, and that is troubling. About 1,300 new infections every day. Number of lives lost is still heartbreaking news, 422. Again, this is at an unimaginable level, and it's dropping somewhat, but it's still devastating news. The question we're watching now is, we hit the high point, we're on the way down. How fast does that number come down? And how far does that number drop? We have projections again, like we had projections on what the disease was going to do on the way up the mountain. We have projections on what the disease would do as a rate of decline. But again, they're just projections. Some projections has it going down and flattening at about 5,000 people in hospitals still. Some projections have the decline slowing between now and June. But these are, again, all projections, just like they had projections as to how fast and how far the disease would increase. Those projections, as we know, were wrong. Well, they weren't wrong. We didn't hit those projections because of our actions, because of what we did, because of what the federal government did. Luckily, the disease did not go as high as they thought in the projections. You now have the corresponding question: how fast is the decline? How low is the decline? And again, the variable is going to be what we do. We change the projection on the way up. We can change the projection on the way down. But it's purely dependent on what we do. Are we socially distancing? Are we testing? How fast do we reopen? How do we reopen? You answer those questions, and you will determine what the rate of decline is. If you say, well, we're done, can't stay in the house anymore, let's just reopen. Just start business tomorrow. Let's go. What happens? That's what happens. All the progress we made is gone, and all experts, or virtually all experts, will say not only does the virus spread increase, but it increases to a higher point than we had increased the first time. Again, this is a remarkably effective virus at spreading and growing. So I know everyone's impatient. Let's just reopen. That's what happens if we just reopen. So we have to be smart. People are also talking about a second wave, potential of a second wave. People are talking about potential for the virus to come back in the fall, which means the game isn't over, which means the game could be just at halftime. So let's make sure we're learning the lessons of what has happened thus far. And let's make sure we're being truthful with ourselves. Not that we're deceiving anyone else, but let's make sure we're not deceiving ourselves. What has happened? What should we learn from as far as what has happened thus far, so we make sure we don't make the same mistakes again? And let's do that now. This was our first global pandemic. Welcome. There had been people who talked about global pandemics before. Bill Gates had talked about the potential of a global pandemic. During the Obama administration, they talked about being prepared for a global pandemic. But it was almost always an academic exercise. What if, what if, what if? Once it happens, once it actualizes for people, then it's different. Then people get it. We now know that a global pandemic is not just a textbook exercise. It's not just a tabletop exercise. It can happen. And when it happens, it's devastating. And let's just learn from what happened on the first one. Let's just get the basic lesson of what happened on the first one. Last November, December, we knew that China had a virus outbreak. You could read about it in the newspapers, right? Everybody knew. January 26, we know we had the first confirmed case in Seattle, Washington, and in California. February 2nd, the president ordered a travel ban from China. March 1st, we have the first confirmed case in the state of New York. By March 19th, New York State is totally closed down. No state moved faster from first case to close down than the state of New York. March 16th, we have a full travel ban from Europe. Researchers now find, and they report in some newspapers, the virus was spreading wildly in Italy in February. And there was an outbreak, massive outbreak, in Italy in February. Researchers now say there were likely 28,000 cases in the United States in February, including 10,000 cases in the state of New York. And the coronavirus flu, that virus that came to New York, did not come from China. It came from Europe, okay? When you look at the number of flights that came from Europe to New York, the New York metropolitan area, New York and New Jersey, during January, February, up to the close down, 13,000 flights bringing 2.2 million people. All right? So November, December, you have the outbreak in China, everybody knows. January, February, flights are coming from Europe. People are also coming from China in January until the China closed down. And the flights continue to come from Europe until the Europe shut down. 2.2 million people come to New York and come to New Jersey. We acted 2 months after the China outbreak. When you look back, does anyone think the virus was still in China waiting for us to act 2 months later? We all talk about the global economy and how fast people move and how mobile we are. How can you expect that when you act 2 months after the outbreak in China, the virus was only in China waiting for us to act? The horse had already left the barn by the time we moved. A researcher now says...
There you go. That's Governor Andrew Cuomo from his news conference just about an hour ago. Coming up... Oh, you know, I almost forgot. Oh, my God. How could I forget this? You've worked very hard. Those of you that still have jobs, those of you that are still working, you've worked very, very hard this week. You're doing the job of maybe two and three and four people, because of cutbacks and layoffs and furloughs and things like that. But even in the midst of the coronavirus, we can still celebrate the best day of the week. Here we go.
Oh, man, what day is it?
It's Friday.
Friday.
Wall to wall.
It's Friday.
Friday.
It's Friday.
Friday.
Everybody!
It's Friday.
Oh, you know better. It is Friday. I absolutely love that. Stick around. More to do as we continue. There's this controversy that has developed over some comments that the president made. We'll get to that coming up in our next segment as we continue. This is about a disinfectant and irradiation of blood, ultraviolet irradiation of your blood. And a lot of people are making fun of it, but it's been written about by the NIH, of all folks, so the National Institutes of Health. We'll do that and more coming up live and local now.
Where Nevada comes to talk, making radio great again. The official radio stations of the Vegas Golden Knights.
I'm Byron Bergeron, and I'm a lawyer. Now, I know that people don't like lawyers, but think of it like this. I'm here to level the playing field so you get a fair shake. Let me give you an example. You get into a wreck. Your insurance company wants you to think it represents you, and its priority is your best interest. You know, good hands. The truth is, its priority is its checkbook and its shareholders. If it's to their advantage, they will throw you under the bus so fast, you'll think the mayhem guy in the TV commercial is driving. I have only one client, you, and I can keep these companies in line because I have only one shareholder to answer to, me. I answer my own phone. I return my own phone calls, and other than my wife and two babies, The most important people in the world are my clients. 775-229-3736. 775-229-3736. When you need the field leveled so you can get a fair shake, call me.
A message from our friends at Grease Monkey. You know, they are suffering just like we are through this COVID-19 pandemic shutdown of all non-essential businesses, and they are still open, but they recognize that a lot of you aren't making your travel to Wendover like you would be with so many businesses closed up there. But they're ready to serve you when you can, and if by chance you're on the way up to Salt Lake City or other places and you have problems, please take stop by and see Grease Monkey. They'll take care of your car. They're at Beaumark Station, 801 Florence Way, 775-664-4229, 775-664-4229, and when you go by or stop by, tell them that we sent you by, would you please, KELY and the Nevada Talk Network. That's Grease Monkey in Wendover, 775-664-4229, and be safe.
Thanks for listening to Nevada Talk Network, where Nevada comes to talk. Our programming originates from the beautiful Georgetown Ranch in Ely, Nevada, over KELY AM 1230. For over 70 years, the news source for White Pine County. In Sparks, Reno, and Carson City, you're listening to KNNR 1400 AM. In Battle Mountain, you're listening to KNNT 98.5 FM. In Hawthorne, Nevada, you're hearing us on KAVB 98.7 FM. In Fallon, you're listening to KNVR 102.5 FM. In the Amargosa Valley, you're hearing us over KPKK 101.1 FM. And in Pahrump, you're listening to us on KPVM Television, channel 25.6. Thanks for listening to the Nevada Talk Network, where Nevada comes to talk.
You know, for years here on the Nevada Talk Network, people have heard me talking about Lee and Leanne Anderson over at Anderson's Food Town. It is the only locally owned grocery store in Ely, and they are going the extra mile during these troubling times to make sure they can get you taken care of. They can get your grocery and food orders together. You can still get the best meat in Ely at Anderson's Food Town. They also fresh cut meats, poultry, fresh produce as well, all your grocery and household items, and they will deliver them directly to your home. Give them a call at 775-289-8844. Place your order for pickup or delivery. And, of course, their deli sandwiches and soup always available for delivery as well. Anderson's Food Town, 775-289-8844. 775-289-8844. And tell Lee and Leanna we said hi. Let us know what's on your mind. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/NevadaTalkNet, or visit our website, nvtalk.com.
I really want to care. I want to feel something. Let me dig a little deeper.
No, sorry. Nothing.
So good to have you with us. It is Live Local Now. The president at the press briefing yesterday got into a bit of trouble talking about the ultraviolet irradiation of blood, something that they are apparently going to test, and they're going to see how the coronavirus responds to it. Now, a lot of and also the disinfectant, ingesting disinfectant. By the way, the folks at Lysol say do not ingest our product or products like ours. But I was looking at this article. There's an article from the NIH, Michael Hamblin, saying that ultraviolet blood irradiation, UBI is what it's called, was extensively used in the 40s and 50s to treat a lot of diseases, including pneumonia, tuberculosis, arthritis, asthma, even polio back in the day. So this is not something that is junk science. This is stuff that has been used. Again, you got to go back to the 40s and 50s, but maybe there is an application that, hey, and by the way, I'm listening to anything. You got an idea? Bring it on. I love that stuff. I just find that incredible. The president. This is the president yesterday.
A question that probably some of you are thinking of if you're totally into that world, which I find to be very interesting. So supposing we hit the body with a tremendous, whether it's ultraviolet or just very powerful light, and I think you said that hasn't been checked, but you're going to test it. And then I said, supposing you brought the light inside the body, which you can do either through the skin or in some other way. And I think you said you're going to test that, too. Sounds interesting. Right. And then I see the disinfectant where it knocks it out in a minute, 1 minute. And is there a way we can do something like that by injection inside or almost a cleaning? Because you see it gets in the lungs and it does a tremendous number of lungs. So it'd be interesting to check that. So that you're going to have to use medical doctors with. But it sounds interesting to me. So we'll see. But the whole concept of the light, the way it kills it in 1 minute, that's pretty powerful.
Well, I'm open to anything. We cannot continue to live this way. Are we all in agreement on that? We simply cannot do that. Coming up, a little bit in about 10 minutes. We are going to open up our phone lines because I want to talk with you about the binary choice that we are being given. We can be safe, okay, and be under house arrest, or we can open up America as they're doing in Georgia and Texas and other states, and maybe run the risk of further damage. Further deaths. We'll see what you think on that. One of the things that I what we're now trying to deal with is the collateral damage of the Kona. Simply put, the collateral damage of the economy. And a lot of people are asking the question: how do we do this without bailing out every state in the union? And Chris Wallace, in fact, let's go to cut one. Chris Wallace discussed the possible issues with bailing out states down the road. Is it something we're going to have to do eventually? And then the question, well, then why not now? This was Chris Wallace on Fox News Channel.
I heard the clip you had earlier of Mitch McConnell saying, look, we got to think long and hard before we start bailing out states. And I think he's got a point. About that. That isn't in this bill. This would be in the next bill because, you know, the fact is some of these states were already in financial trouble before the virus, and you're basically saying to people in a state that runs on a very tight budget, I don't know, let's say Ohio, you're saying, hey, you need to finance, and taxpayers in your state need to pay to bail out states that maybe didn't have such tight finances like New York and California. And you know, that does raise a legitimate question of fairness and why people in one part of the country should have to bail out people in another part of the country, which may have had financial problems long before we were in this fix with the virus. So I think that's a legitimate issue, and I think there's going to be a real fight, and we may not see a coronavirus Bill 4 for quite some time.
That's Chris Wallace, the host of Fox News Sunday. There is so much negativity surrounding this thing. A lot of folks this weekend are going to be protesting around the country, including here in Las Vegas, beginning this afternoon. But I'll simply tell you that it's time that we had some positive news. Let's go to the vice president, which I think I love the job this guy is doing. The Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence, this is Cut 4, giving us some optimistic statistics to hang our hat on. This was the president last night at the White House.
Today, the White House Coronavirus Task Force met, and while our hearts are with the families of those who have lost their life to the coronavirus and those who are struggling with serious illness today,
Our team, led by Dr. Deborah Birx, informs us that the data continues to show promising signs of progress. The New York metro area, New Jersey, Connecticut, Detroit, and New Orleans all appear to be past their peak, and we are seeing consistent declines in hospitalization and cases in regions across the country. Our only conclusion is that we're getting there, America, because the American people have put into practice the president's guidelines of social distancing, because you've been listening and adhering to the guidance of state and local officials. We're making meaningful progress, in a very real sense, sparing Americans to be exposed to the coronavirus, and in no less extent, saving lives. Our task force actually believes, Mr. President, that if we continue these mitigation efforts in the days ahead, as states implement their policies, including phased reopening that will preserve those gains, we do believe by early summer we could be in a much better place as a nation with much of this coronavirus epidemic behind us.
That gives me reason for hope. And that, to me, is what we have to be talking about. Are we going to be open in May? No. I seriously doubt it. Could we be open in June? I think that's a possibility. The governor's plan, which, again, is somewhat vague, and you know, when you say, well, what kind of industries would you allow to open first? The governor's not very specific. And that's, Governor Sisolak has done that repeatedly, where he holds a news conference, makes a statement, and then a day later has to either clarify or walk it back. Again, this is what I call the uneven performance of the governor. Stick around. More to do as we continue. We're going to go to your phone calls coming up in our next segment. And I want to find out if there is a binary choice, this or that, when it comes to the coronavirus. We'll get to that and more coming up. Live and local now.